Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Baba Kwatu Wa. Good morning, Yasha Allah. And welcome, y'all. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, as always, Tazapod, and this is Tazapod Tuesdays, y'all. So tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Tazapod Tuesday. Tazapod Tuesday happening every Tuesday. Yeah, y'all. It's your brother once again. I hope everybody had a great weekend, man. And a safe weekend at that, man. Hearing a lot of things going down, man, this past week and even over the weekend, man. It is crazy out here in these streets. Let me get this before I even start, like I always do. This is Psalms 118 and verse 24. This is the day. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, we will, y'all. Good or bad, happy or sad. Especially in light of current events, man. We're going to get to that here in a second. Before I dive into the news, y'all, I want to send shouts out to my brethren here in San Antonio, ISBHPK. Also, the brothers have a moving company, y'all. They move appliances. They move residential. They move commercial. On the Mark Moving, you need something moved. You in the San Antonio area or the New Braunfels area or the surrounding areas of San Antonio, you know, little cities, Cibolo, Church, New Braunfels, San Marcos. I think the brothers go as far as Austin. I've heard they went to Dallas. Matter of fact, I went on a trip to Dallas with them before. So, yeah, they do go to D-Town, man. I want to send a shout-out to those brothers. Also, I want to send a shout-out to the brothers down in H-Town, ISBHPK Houston, and they also have businesses. I don't know the name of the moving company, but I know they've got that going underway. They also have Sweet Ambience, and I believe it's primarily online, y'all. As well as the brothers in VA, I want to send a shout out to those brothers and the brothers in Rochester. Hope everybody is safe, everybody is healthy. I want to send shouts out to my Albuquerque brethren out there doing their thing with their little moving company that they got going on. And send shouts out to those brothers. Shalom and salutes to all those brothers. Y'all want to go ahead and dive into this. So last week, y'all, and I'm sure y'all heard, and if you haven't heard about the verdict in the George Floyd's case, but they came back with a guilty verdict, and they have yet to do the sentencing. I don't know when they're going to sentence the police that killed George Floyd, and then still got the situation with the brother who was killed by the female officer who claimed she tried to reach for a taser, but reached for a pistol instead and killed the brother. So all that's going on in Minnesota. And meanwhile, this here is going on. And this is, let me see where this went down at. Somebody has toast and bacon on the counter. This happened in Virginia, in VA. Something else happened in, no, that was in Louisville. Okay. I'm thinking of Breonna Taylor. And that, I believe that trial is getting underway also. So all of this stuff is going on. So this is from the New York Times, y'all. Deputy shoots unarmed man repeatedly during 9/11 call, officials say. Isaiah Brown was on cordless phone with an emergency dispatcher when he was shot. His lawyer said, his family said he was in intensive care. So he's been shot, like it says, several times. And he's still alive, y'all. He's in intensive care. I'm going to read on in the article. A Virginia sheriff deputy shot and seriously wounded an unarmed man early on Wednesday morning, less than an hour after the deputy had given the man a ride. This is what gets me. Let me read this again. A Virginia sheriff's deputy shot and seriously wounded an unarmed man early on Wednesday morning, less than an hour after the deputy had given the man a ride after his car broke down, the authorities said. And this one, I ain't going to lie, man, it got me scratching my head. And I'm scratching my head because, and if you haven't seen the picture of the brother, go online and get a picture of him and you'll see what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. And I didn't know this. I didn't know this until I pulled the article up. But the brother's a sodomite, man. Of course it is, because this just ain't adding up. That's what I think it is. You know, like my wife is saying, they think it's more to the story like a crime of passion. And I do too, because it says that this deputy, the same one that shot him had just dropped him off at his relative's house. He just dropped him off. First of all, I've been broke down before. Matter of fact, we broke down in I guess it ain't all that odd. Because we broke down in Louisiana, y'all. And I did call AAA. That's normally who you call if you have, you know, AAA, if you're fortunate enough to have it. AAA didn't come, y'all. Some police came. And like I said, we were in the middle of Louisiana somewhere. We were lost. We was headed down to Florida, to Miami, to work at State Fair. This is our first time going down there, too. So, you know, we're a bit sketchy on the directions or whatever. But we ended up running out of gas, man. Don't ask me, y'all, how we ran out of gas, because I wasn't driving. I was asleep. Was my vehicle. So, of course, I was awakened given this news that we was out of gas. And call, you ever got AAA, whoop-de-woo. So, anyway, I called AAA. They didn't show up. And I know, Masaba wasn't with us on this trip. It was Badabada War was on this trip. Yasha Allah, who else? Dawam, you remember. Kanak. And myself, yeah. So it's six brothers. In the five-seater, we sent a pickup truck with an extended cab. But anyway, this is why I say maybe that I'm lying when I say I never heard of a police picking you up. Because a cop came, and I was volunteered to ride with the cop to the gas station to get gas for the vehicle. I'm petrified, man. Like I said, we in Louisiana. And, man, he got out, man, red as cracker you ever want to see, man. But he turned out to be cool, man, and got me the gas, got me back to the vehicle and whatnot. So I guess, you know, police do give people's rides like they just gave this dude a ride. But like I said, man, this story right here is just something's not adding up. And I'm sure more details will be revealed as this nonsense continues. So I'm going to read this again. And this article, once again, y'all, from the New York Times, in case you're interested in reading it over and seeing the picture of the brother, and I'm sure it's on other publications too. But it says, a Virginia sheriff's deputy shot and seriously wounded an unarmed man early. Hold on, y'all. My phone is doing all kind of weird crap. Let me get this out of here. Clear all of this up. Okay. And I got to check, too, y'all, make sure I'm not on speaker, because I know a lot of the shows, they be kind of muffled, because for whatever reason, my phone just jump on speaker while I got my earphones plugged in, and then you really can't hear me. So I'm going to keep checking this go-around to see... make sure that I'm still on headphones. Okay, back to the Oracle. New York Times, a Virginia sheriff's deputy shot and seriously wounded an unarmed man early on Wednesday morning, less than an hour after the deputy had given the man a ride after his car broke down, the authorities said. The Spotsylvania County deputy had initially given the man, Isaiah L. Brown, 32, a lift to a house after responding to a 911 call for a driver whose car was not working at a gas station, the Virginia State Police said. About 45 minutes later, the deputy responded to another 911 call for a domestic incident involving Mr. Brown and his brother. According to the state police, and a recording on the 911 call and body camera footage, the finding, Mr. Brown walking in a road and talking to a 911 dispatcher, the deputy said, "He's got a gun to his head. Drop the gun now," the deputy shouted. "Stop walking towards me. Stop walking towards me. Stop, stop." And this is why I say this whole little ordeal is just fishy. So the deputy that dropped him off, and then going back to the whole story, you picked him up from a gas station because his car broke down. To me, man, I would love to see a picture of the officer. This sounds like this officer was soliciting this dude. Or he has some type of relationship with this punk, man. And I guess he had threatened to come out publicly or whatever. Maybe the dude had a family. This is what it sounds like to me, y'all. And I'm just speculating. But this is what it sounds like. This is the only thing that makes sense to me. Maybe he had threatened to tell people, expose him or whatever, and dude shot him and killed him. I mean, how else can you justify shooting somebody 10 times? I believe they say he shot him 10 times, all because the dude had a gun, but according to him, he had the gun pointed to his head. So he wasn't endangering your life. He was endangering his own life. So wouldn't the protocol be to try to talk the dude down or to call suicide prevention? You know what I'm saying? Because they have cops that do that. They specialize in that. It's like they have negotiators to negotiate hostage situations, like you've seen it in the damn movie, The Negotiator. I'm going back a little bit. But I'm just saying. So I'm reading on this story. It says at least 7 gunshots can be heard on the body camera footage. The officer mistook a caller's house phone for a gun, Mr. Brown's lawyer, David Haynes, said in a statement. There is no indication that Isaiah did anything other than comply with dispatch officers and raised his hands with the phone in his hand as instructed. The deputy in question made multiple basic policing errors and violated established protocols. You see what I'm saying? It just don't even add up. Mr. Haynes said the family learned that Mr. Brown had been shot 10 times. Yolanda Brown, Mr. Brown's sister, said on Saturday that her brother was in an intensive care unit and on breathing machines. The exact doctor's words were, "Your brother's not out of the woods yet, and it is touch and go," she said in the interview. The Virginia State Police confirmed that Mr. Brown, who was black, was unarmed. Mr. Hayes called the shooting avoidable. Roger L. Harris, the Spotsylvania County Sheriff, released the 911 call and body camera footage on Friday and said in the videotape statement that the deputy who shot Mr. Brown had been placed on administrative leave. He did not give the deputy's name, and the sheriff's office did not return calls on Saturday. The Virginia State Police, the agency that is leading the investigation, plans to turn over its findings to a special prosecutor to review, said Corny Giller, a state police spokeswoman. Sheriff Harris said that the state police had been contacted at his request to ensure an impartial and transparent investigation. Libraria J. Jenkins, the Commonwealth's attorney for the city of Fredericksburg, Virginia, confirmed on Saturday that he had been appointed special prosecutor. Video of the incident has been released, but the investigation continues, she said in the email. "I have nothing further to report at this time," end quote. The authorities described the fast-moving sequence of events that had begun at about 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday. See, you see how this is so fishy? What the hell are you doing out this late, man? Anyway, when the deputy gave Mr. Brown a ride, so he gave him a ride at 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, man. It sounds like he picked the punk up for some sexual favors and got caught up in the sauce, man. The authorities describe a fast-moving sequence. The authorities describe a fast-moving sequence of events that had begun at about 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday when the deputy gave Mr. Brown a ride. Mr. Brown said her brother had been dropped off at his mother's house. About 45 minutes later, the sheriff's office received a 911 call for a domestic incident, the state police said. In the recording of the call, Mr. Brown can be heard arguing with his brother about getting keys to a parked car, to a car parked outside of the house. While on the phone with a dispatcher, Mr. Brown asked his brother for a gun, which his brother refused to give him. The 911 call indicates. Mr. Brown then asked the dispatcher to send someone to the house and says, "I'm about to kill my brother." Mr. Brown tells the dispatcher that he did have a gun, but does not have one on him, the recording indicates. As he continues talking with the dispatcher, sirens can be heard, and the dispatcher tells Mr. Brown to hold your hands up. In the body camera footage, the responding deputy gets out of his car and begins shouting at Mr. Brown in the middle of a dark road, illuminated by flashing blue lights of his patrol car. "Show me your hands now. Show me your hands. Drop the gun." The footage mostly shows the ground and part of the deputy's car. It does not show Mr. Brown being shot. After the shooting, the deputy gave medical aid to Mr. Brown, according to the sheriff. On a 911 call, the deputy can be heard telling Mr. Brown's brother to grab a medical kit in his patrol car. "Stay with me," the deputy tells Mr. Brown. "Stay with me." "Does he still have the house phone?" Mr. Brown's brother asked in the 911 recording. All this going on, man. This situation is fishy, fishy, fishy. And in light of this that's going on, and I got some scriptures I would pull to give the most high take on this. Let me switch over to this one. And this is from U.S. News, y'all. Y'all probably heard about this one, too. It says, get the headlines. Sheriff deputy fatally shot black man while serving warrants. So, man, it's every day now, y'all. Every day you hear about one of us getting killed by the powers that be, man. It's become a daily occurrence, and I'm not in no way condoning death. And the Most High ain't either, y'all. And I read this last week in Ezekiel when the Most High said he finds no pleasure in the wicked dying, man. He don't. And I don't either, man. It's just a tragedy to see our people die. But at the same time, man, it's tragic to see the lifestyles that our people are living and the influences that they're giving themselves over to. So reading on in this article, it says a North Carolina deputy shot and killed a black man while serving a search warrant Wednesday, authorities said, spurring an outcry for community members who demand law enforcement accountability and an immediate release of body camera footage. Let me go with these body cam footage, man. I hope y'all understand that that don't necessarily mean nothing. Come on, man. The George Floyd case. And I'm like, it's caught on camera. Everybody can clearly see the dude kneeling on his damn neck. And he had intentions on killing him. I don't care what people say. Oh, it was a mistake. Ain't no damn mistake. If you're kneeling on somebody's neck, come on. That's a very sensitive part of your body. Your intentions are not good, man. But my point is, it was on videotape. And it could have went either way. And I say that because I'm old enough to remember the Rodney King beating that was caught on videotape. And what happened? All officers were acquitted. Come on, man. Y'all need to stop with this nonsense, people. Israel, wake up. These people don't care about us. We're not even considered humans. And I say that because why you got to have a damn court case if something was caught on video? You're convicted by the footage. That would be, I guess, I ain't going to even say common sense because that ain't common, but it's self-explanatory. Anyway, authorities wouldn't provide details of the shooting, but an eyewitness said that Andrew Brown Jr. was shot while trying to drive away and that the deputies fired at him multiple times. The car skidded out of Brown's yard and eventually hit a tree, said Demetrius Williams, who lives on the same street. Williams said after hearing one gunshot, she ran outside. She saw other shots being fired at the car. When they opened the door, he was already dead, quote, Williams told the Associated Press. He was slumped over, she said. Officers tried to perform chest compressions on him. Authorities removed from the scene appeared to have multiple bullet holes and broken rear windshields. The Passquot Tank Sheriff, County Sheriff's deputy was placed on leave pending a review by the State Bureau of Investigation. Sheriff Tommy Wooden II said at a news conference, court record shows Brown was 42 years old and had a history of drug charges and misdemeanor drug possession convictions. And then, you know, as soon as they kill one of us, immediately they start the defamation of character campaign to make us, to villainize us, so the everybody's listening and viewing, they could say, well, see, he was a bad person anyway, to justify their actions in us being murdered. But listen to this, y'all. Let me read y'all this. So I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And yeah, we use this chapter to get people to see that we are the people of the Bible, and this is the evidence, Deuteronomy 28, which are the curses that the Most High said we were going to go upon if we didn't keep his law, statutes, and commandments. And I'm going to start at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, in case you're not familiar with this chapter, your first time tuning in, and you don't understand what a commandment is or a statute is, a commandment is an order. A statute is a law, okay? And the Most High gave us laws, statutes, and commandments, things that we have to do. There's five sets of the laws, and one of them, let me not jump into that. But there's five sets of them, and the Most High gave us laws to do, and he commanded us to do them. And if we didn't do them, then he said we were going to be cursed for doing them, all right? Now, let me jump down, because from verse 1 to 15, or 1 to 14, it gives the blessings. From 15 on down, it gives the curses. So let me jump down to verse 61. And it says, also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So y'all hear that? He says every sickness and every plague. So the sickness that's plaguing our people, cancer being one of them, we'll get to that in a second. Diabetes, sickle cell anemia. Yes, those are sicknesses, but then he says every plague. Us being killed unarmed by our red counterparts, that's a plague, y'all. That's exactly what it is. And this is why you see it in abundance. But the Most High said that he was going to destroy us. This is our curse. And I'm going to read on in the scriptures. It says, I'm going to read it from the beginning in verse 61. So we're in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Because you don't read about that in the scriptures. about us being killed, unarmed by the authorities, what actually do. Let me get this out of here. Because you read about that in Maccabees, how we were slaughtered. Then we know that the Romans slaughtered us also. So history repeats itself. Like the scripture says, nothing new under the sun. Where was I at? Verse 62, listen to this. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude. You know, like the scripture tells us, man, like losing Zechariah, two-thirds of Israel got to die, y'all. Two-thirds of Israel have to. And the Most High is doing the purge right now. Like I said, I'm not rejoicing because these brothers and sisters are being murdered. We have to understand why. It says, and ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. So all of this is happening because our people won't listen, man. And you can't use the excuse, I didn't know. Man, the truth has been being taught on a large scale. You can't turn on the internet, Facebook, YouTube, any social media outlet and not see an Israelite teaching something. So it's no excuse, man. Israel is in damn near every city throughout the United States, worldwide, as a matter of fact, teaching. So you can't use the excuse that you didn't know. It's like Christ said that his word was going to be teached through the whole world. He tells you that in the Gospels. And that's happening right now. So you don't have that as an excuse. I didn't know. You know, if you didn't know personally, then you knew somebody else who knew. Who knew about this truth. Somebody that got taught. What they say, 6 degrees of separation. You know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. You know, just like the hookup. Now I know somebody that knows somebody. How is it that niggas can get knowledge of the hookup, but they can't get knowledge of the real hookup, which is the truth about who you are, who you belong to, and why you're in captivity, and the fact that you're even in captivity? Verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoice over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. So it's telling us that the Most High is rejoicing. He once rejoiced over us to do us good, to bless us. But that's only if we keep his laws, statutes, and commandments, his rules. But if we break them, we say he's going to rejoice over us to destroy us for breaking them. We got to understand that, y'all. And like I said, man, I didn't know this, man. I had to pop them, look at the article. The brother picture popped up, and I see, damn, this brother's a sodomite. This might be a part of why he died. This is just before I even read the article, man. And I'm going to show you why I say this, besides what I just showed in Deuteronomy. Let me get 1 Timothy. I gotta find that scripture too. It says, whoever perished being innocent. Should have put that in here. Yeah, 1 Timothy the 1 and verse 8. Listen to this, y'all. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So the same law that was talking about Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's still talking about the same law. And this is what the scripture says. This is what Paul said. He said that the law is good if a man use it. And the law really is good, y'all. It's so beneficial for your health, for your morals, just as a society as a whole, dealing with your people, dealing with your nation, man. It gives you good, sound instructions on what to do, man. And the law pretty much is just like the basics, man, for living, for life. And Solomon even said that too in Ecclesiasticus. When he said, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter, he said, fear the Most High and keep his commandments. And I always go to that scripture because people have been going back and forth for centuries on the meaning of life. But that's the true meaning of life. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments. That's the meaning, that's the whole, because even in that very same chapter, the next line says, this is the whole duty of man. So that's the meaning of life. Verse 9, and this is what I want to get to. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Y'all hear that? Why would we need laws, statutes, and commandments to govern us if we was already right? Which lets us know that none of us are righteous. Even Paul said, he says, no, not one. None of us is righteous. So who needs the law? All of us, all the Israelites. He says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And this is what these people want to say, that the law is done away with. Ain't no damn law done away. You know why the law ain't done away with? Because you still hate your brother. You still committing adultery. You still eating swine. You know, there ain't no law done away with. You still commit incest within your family. Leviticus, the 18th, 19th, 20th chapter. Now, I know that runs rampant through my family. I'm a victim of that. But you want to talk about the laws done away with. Well, the scripture says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You don't even know the law. But you're going to say it's done away with. Let me read this again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, for the lawless and disobedient. So the law is made for people that are lawless, that don't want to keep the law. So when the Most High said he was going to destroy us for breaking the law, he meant exactly that. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane and murderers and fathers, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. What is defiling yourself with mankind? It's talking about homosexuality, y'all. It's talking about switch hitting. Carpet munching, if you're a woman. It says, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So this is why the law was created in the first place. And it's talking about God's law. Well, people might say, well, Tosh Pot, this is these other people's laws. They the one that's doing the killing, and they the one that's doing the wickedness. Let me show y'all something, man. We got to understand this, Israel. This is Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. Y'all hear this? The powers that be are ordained of God. Let me calm down so I can read correctly. So it's letting you know that every power structure that has this power, the Most High put them there. When it says ordained, means he ordered it that way. So every power structure, including the so-called white man, this is his kingdom. This kingdom was given to him by the Most High. Now listen to this. For whosoever therefore resist the power, so you resisting this kingdom, even resisting their laws that they have in order, going against their laws, resist the ordinance of God. So you're resisting the Most High. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Y'all hear that? Now, don't get me wrong. I know this country has laws set up to the same-sex marriages and all this other abominable stuff and detestable that the Most High abhors, he loathes. I'm not saying to do that stuff because you ain't got to do that stuff. That's an option. That's a choice. But the laws they have set in order, about murder, about stealing, about selling dope. All those laws, you better abide by them. Even hell, paying your taxes. What did Christ say? Surrender unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's. Because the Most High put us here for our punishment. Go back and read, what is it, Jeremiah, the 28th and the 29th chapter. In chapter 28, you had a prophet that was telling the people that we weren't going to go into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar and that the captivity was going to be over. He basically was going against the Most High because the Most High said, yeah, y'all are going into captivity. He tells you in chapter 29, you can go into captivity. You're going to do whatever Nebuchadnezzar and his regime, his government sets up, you're going to do. You're going to stay in order with it. He said, but have families, go get houses, just live your life. I'm coming to get you, but this is your punishment. But you're going to be in order with them, those people, because I set it up that way. We got to understand that, man. It's the same thing with this kingdom. He set it up that way. I'm going to read on, Romans 13, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So you get something bad done to you, Esau coming down on your head, guess why? Because they're not a terror to good works. They're trying to get you to do better. You're doing something evil, and the Most High is trying to correct you and put you back on the righteous path. Thou then not be afraid of the power. Who's the power? The Most High is. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So if you do what's good, then the Most High will praise you. But if you do what's bad, then the Most High is definitely going to punish you. I can tell you the Hebrews, he chastised the ones he loves. No different than we chastise our children. If they doing something wrong, we don't chastise them because we hate them. We chastise them because we love them. Let me see if I can find the scripture real quick. Here it is. It's in Job. Job chapter 4, verse 7. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? So Job asked a question, man. He said, remember, I pray thee. I'm praying you to remember this. Whoever died, whoever had something bad happen to him and they was innocent, man. It was such thing as innocent bystander. You know, and then the article about the sodomite, the sister, no, not the sodomite, the other brother, and both of them last name Brown too, man. How ironic is that? His auntie's like, man, why they shoot my baby? Why they kill my baby? Like he was innocent. It's like that old song, We All in the Same Gang, and Eazy-E said, my baby ain't never shot nobody, but he still got smoked at Bay Bay's party. Ain't nobody innocent, man. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I believe it's, what, verse 42, verse 40, when the Most High said, did he kill, he make alive? There's no such thing as an innocent bystander, y'all. If something happened to you, then it was meant to happen to you. It came directly from the Most High. You got to understand this, man. And our people, like I said, they'll use that excuse, I don't know, or I didn't know. Ain't no excuse for that, especially this day and time and age, man. The truth is everywhere. Let me get this. I'm running a little bit behind time, but I'm gonna get it in. Luke chapter 16, y'all. Watch this. Because this is the mentality that our people been having. I didn't know. Can't nobody tell me. Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to start at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So this is the story. Just give you a little background. The rich man had this beggar named Lazarus that was outside of his gates begging him every day. And what happened was the beggar died, then Lazarus died also. So, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man in hell, he dies, and then he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, or in heaven, and the rich man is in hell. Verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He's like, man, you lived it up when you was alive. You didn't care about nobody else but you. You wouldn't even feed this this poor homeless man that hung outside your gates. You've seen him every day, and you did nothing for him. So he's like, man, you need to deal with your situation because you brought this on yourself. No different than us, man. We're living it up in Esau's kingdom, doing God knows what, not really considering the consequences. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send me to my father's house. I'm sorry, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So the man that's in hell, the rich man, is asking that Lazarus be sent to his father's house. But this is why. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Like, man, send them to my brothers, so they'll know not to do and make the same mistake that I made. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What is he saying? Man, they got the scriptures. They got the scriptures. They got the opportunity to learn the scriptures just like you did. So they need to listen to the scriptures. Verse 30. And he said, nay, Father. He said, no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Like the scripture says, the Jews require a sign, right? This is what he's saying. Man, the angels just hear no bore no scriptures. It's got to be something miraculous. It's got to be something that's mystical for them to pay attention. So he said, man, if somebody from the dead go back and talk to them, they'll change. Verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Damn right, man. If they won't hear the scriptures, with the scriptures just being the scriptures, then what makes you think they're going to listen to something miraculous? They're going to listen to some miracle they're going to really stop and hope and observe some miracle that you do. They ain't, man. Because the bottom line is, like the script says, the law is made for the lawless, man. Israel, we as Israelites, man, are a bunch of lawless, crazy, insane, deranged, wicked-ass people. Excuse my French. But those are facts. That's why we're here in this captivity in the first place. We wouldn't be punished if we was righteous. And don't get it twisted, brothers and sisters. Just because we are aware of the knowledge of the truth don't make us righteous either. We're trying to be, but don't have the attitude like we're holier than thou, because we ain't. All right, it's another article I wanted to get to. Let me hurry up and jump there because I'm pressed. Let me see. Here we go. This one right here. What to know about glyphosate. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Glyphosate. the pesticide and Roundup weed killer.
Glyphosate.
Yeah, glyphosate. So in case y'all didn't know, Roundup is the company Bayer, you know, that makes Bayer aspirin, they're in the middle of a lawsuit, like $10 billion, man, for a Roundup. Glyphosate, a chemical that kills weeds, is the most widely used herbicide in the country. It is in over 750 products sold in the U.S., according to Oregon State University National Pesticide Information Center. While the chemical has been around for decades, people only recently realized it was making its way from farms to the dinner table. Monsanto began selling Roundup, the main active ingredient of which is glyphosate, in 1974. More than 20 years later, the company developed genetically modified crops that could withstand direct exposure to the chemical. Farmers brought into the idea and started spraying more Roundup. And nearly 20 years after that, in 2015, the World Health Organization's Cancer Agency dealt Monsanto a crippling blow. It determined that glyphosate. Let me get that right. Glyphosate is probably carcinogenic to humans. Melissa Perry, a public health professor at George Washington University, says that for decades we perceived glyphosate to be low toxicity and low risk, and now we're scrambling to catch up. So the article goes on, man, and it tells us that this crap is in a lot of cereals, man. Let me get the brand. I believe it's Kellogg. Who makes Honey Nut Cheerios? General Mills, I think. I think they're affiliated with Kellogg's, though. General Mills. Yeah. So, man, we got some of that. You can throw that away. But it's contained in a lot of cereals that we don't know about, but it is a cancer-causing chemical. And where I wanted to go with this, let me go here, man. Let me get two scriptures on this. I just had it. Here we go. Let's go to Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 7, and I'm reading verse 13, y'all. Consider the works of the Most High, or the works of God. For who can make that straight which he had made crooked? And you know, Job 9:24 says the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. The wicked is, in fact, the so-called white man, and he's crooked as hell. And you can't make this dude straight. You can't. The only reason this is coming out now, man, is because some of his people are being affected by this, and they like, man, we can't let this go on. And now they're trying to come clean with it. The only reason y'all trying to do this because y'all ass got caught. The only reason, man. That's the only reason they always try to come clean with some of this, because they don't, that they feel guilty or feel bad about it. Hell, they still battling with California on California's and I ain't going to read the rest of the article, but California's ruling said that they had to put on all of their products that it may cause you to have cancer. And they were fighting that in a court in California. And I believe the ruling was overturned to where they ended up saying that they don't have to put it on their products to say that it caused cancer. Yes. They're nationwide. My wife's saying a lot of these products are here in Texas. Yeah, but they nationwide, y'all. You can't get away from this. This is how you know when the scripture said the earth is given to the hand of the wicked. Who the hell is talking about? You're controlling everything. Poison and tampering the food and water. Genetically modified or mortified food. Come on, man. Now listen to this. This is Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And that's exactly what's going on right now, man. Because the wicked are bearing rule, you hear everybody mourning. Even their own people are coming out speaking against them now. These people are crooked. You can't make them straight. They're not going to change. This place has to be destroyed. Kingdom of Yahushua, Mashiach Yahushua, our big brother, has to come into play and get us up out of this place, man. That's why he says, unless those days be shortened, so no flesh be saved. Unless he hurt and come back, man, everybody's going to be dead in this wicked place. This is the last article I want to read y'all. Inside BLM co-founder Patrice Carl Collars, million-dollar real estate buying binge. So this lady is the founder of Black Lives Matter, y'all. She's a millionaire now. Like the scripture says, they shall make merchandise of thee. That's exactly what she did. She made merchandise of y'all. Stupid niggas. Some Black Lives Matter. Not knowing that she had her own hidden agenda, which was to come up. More money, more money, more. As protests broke out across the country in the name of Black Lives Matter, the group's co-founder went on a real estate buying binge, snagging four high-end homes for $3.2 million in the U.S. alone, according to Property Reports. Patrice Cal Callers, I'm probably butchering her name, 37, also eyed property in the Bahamas, an ultra-exclusive resort where Justin Timberlake and Tiger Woods both have homes. The Post has learned luxury apartments and townhomes at the beachfront Albany Resort outside Nassau are priced between $5 million and $20 million, according to local agencies. So she eyeing these houses. She got big bank. They start at $5 million, go up to $20 million. The self-described Marxist last month purchased a $1.4 million home on a secluded road a short drive from Malibu in Los Angeles, according to report. The 2,370-square-foot property features soaring ceilings, skylights, and plenty of windows with canyon views. The Topanga Canyon Homestead, which includes two houses on a quarter acre, is just one of the three homes Kyle Corliss owns in the Los Angeles area, public record shows. Some fellow activists were taken aback by the real estate revelations. I bet y'all was, man. And let me jump down. Last year, Cal Corliss and her spouse, Janaea Khan, ventured to Georgia to acquire a fourth home, a custom ranch on 3.2 rural acres in Conyers, featuring a private airport hangar with a studio apartment above it, and the use of a 2,500-foot paved grass community runway that can accommodate small airplanes. So she got a run. She got a strip. She got a private jet. She done came up, boy. Her and her spouse, her wife. So she's a sodomite, y'all. She's a homosexual, carpet muncher. Listen to that, man. She done made merchandise of people. And this is how she was able to do it, man. And she's nothing more than a poverty pimp. Because that's what she did. She pimped the impoverished. So Ecclesiastes 7:7, surely oppression make it a wise man mad. She capitalized on oppressed people, man. Her own people. And it's no different than what niggas been doing. Because you had, what, Creflo not too long ago with the $64 million jet that he bought. Supposedly to fly around the country in the world doing the Lord's work. And like I said before, man, this nigga bought a $64 million jet to supposedly do the Lord's work. But the Lord himself, Yahweh Shai, traveled on a damn donkey. He traveled on the ass. He wasn't in no jet. He didn't even use none of the vehicles of the Most High to travel, the chariot. He was on the donkey. Ain't that something, man? Ain't that something, man? But our people will fall for any and everything, man. Like the scripture says, the simple believe it every word, man. Every word and every cause, man, our people believe it. Hook, line, and sinker. All right, y'all. That does it for the news and current events. And if it's your first time tuning in to the show, that's what I usually do. I spend an hour going over current events, some news stories, things that are intriguing that I might run across. But now I'm transitioning over to the class that Mashaba hooked up, the Water Brother, for the broadcast. And the title of the class is called Thank You for Being a Friend. Mashaba pulled that intro up, man, which is the original song that they got for the sitcom Golden Girls, man. Thank You for Being a Friend. And this is part two to the class. Last week I covered, let me get this. Because this is the scripture I'm a springboard from. Let's get St. John, chapter 15. St. John, chapter 15, start at verse 14. This is Christ speaking. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So this is what Christ saying. Man, y'all my friends. And once again, a definition for friend, one attached to another by affection or esteem. One that is of the same nation, party, or group. So yeah, man, if you're an Israelite, you follow the law, statutes, and commandments, you're a friend. This is what Christ is saying. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You are a friend. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. This is Christ speaking. Listen, he said, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So he says the things he heard of the Heavenly Father, he made known to his friends, man. And he said he didn't call them servants, even though we are his servants, but Christ made it explicitly clear that we should be serving each other. And serving each other how? As friends, man. You my friend. This is why I'm serving you. This is why I'm doing for you. This is why I appreciate you. This is why I go through the trouble and the hard times that I go through with you, because you my friend. I appreciate you. So, springboarding from that, let's jump now to Luke, man. Let's get Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to start at, verse 20. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and this is what Christ was demanded by the Pharisees, which were the religious authority at the time, the really religious sect. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the word behold means look. He says, look, the kingdom of God is within you. What is Christ talking about? What Christ is saying is, Israelites, we make up the kingdom. When we send that prayer up, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying for the Most High to bring Yahushua back to give us our kingdom here on earth. We're going to establish that kingdom. We're going to set that kingdom up to be a righteous kingdom, ruled, governed by the Most High, Yahushua. We're going to be a part of that. But in the kingdom, you're going to need these things. Let's jump forward. Let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 9. Now listen to this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do y'all hear this? The unrighteous. So those people that don't want friends, those people that don't want to build relationships, those people that don't want to look out for each other, they ain't going to get to the kingdom. When the Most High, when Christ said that the kingdom of the Most High is within us, he meant in the relationships that we build each other, that we build up with each other. How the hell are you going to establish a kingdom if you beefing with your brother? Or are you looking down your nose at this acronym camp over here because they ain't doing what you doing? Or they ain't dressed the way you dress, or they don't teach the way you teach. How you going to build a damn kingdom? Remember what Christ said. He says a house divided against itself shall not stand. So how the hell are we going to be a kingdom if we bickering and beefing back and forth with each other and not finding a common ground, y'all? Not saying, okay, brother, you believe in Christ? You believe in, you believe in the Most High? You believe in Yahweh Shai? All right, we can be friends. We can fellowship on some level. I'm not saying it's going to be on a real deep, sincere level. Then hell, who knows? It might very well be. You can fellowship with somebody that don't necessarily believe the things that you believe. I'm talking about as far as the doctrine is concerned. But that doesn't mean just because y'all disagree that y'all can't be friends, man. Hell, we got to look at it in a simple form for brothers and sisters that have a spouse, that have a wife, have a husband. How many times have you disagreed with your wife or disagreed with your husband? And y'all might be at odds with each other for a couple hours or, hell, let me be honest, a couple days. That's usually the way it goes. Might be at odds for a couple days, but that don't mean you just pack up and leave the relationship, leave the situation just because y'all had an argument. Brother, you might leave the room, be on the couch, be in your own room for a couple of days, not pay your spouse no mind for a couple of days because you're angry. But that don't mean you just pack up and you leave. Now, we can understand this as it pertains to a relationship between a husband and a wife, but how is it we can't understand this as it pertains to a brother to another brother, man? We get all emotional, and honestly, man, it's real effeminate. Just because I don't agree with you, we can't be friends. That's a real effeminate approach, man. That's a real childish approach. I ain't gonna even say childish approach because children don't even do that. Because children, man, you see them, they have a dispute, argument or whatever, 1 minute, and then I ain't lying, man, 5 minutes later, they happy as two peas in a pod. Now, I see it with my kids. My kids do it all the time. But be at each other's throats. 1 minute, you turn around the next minute, they just laughing, having fun, hugging on each other, playing with each other. Like nothing ever happened, man. Like nothing ever happened. How is it we can't have the same mentality, though? I guess in that respect, we should be a lot more childish. Let me read the scripture again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All the things that he listed, you have to be with somebody else to do these things. And what I mean by this is you can't be a fornicator by yourself. You can't be an idolater by yourself. You can't be an adulterer by yourself, effeminate by yourself. Somebody has to recognize that you're effeminate in the first place to point it out to you. Somebody has to recognize that you're an idolater to tell you, hey, man, you're an idolater. You ain't going to say, oh, self, I'm an idolater. Self, I'm effeminate. I'm acting real soft right now. You ain't going to tell yourself that. You need somebody else to let you know these things, to notify you of these things. You can't do it by yourself. This is why it's important to have friends that are in the knowledge of the truth like you. So your friend can tell you how you're acting and how you're off by way of the scriptures, not by way of their opinion. It says no abusers of men, of themselves with mankind. Come on, man. Somebody has to point that out to you. Nor a thief. Somebody got to point that out to you. Nor a covetous. Somebody got to tell you, man, you're being covetous. Nor a drunkard. Somebody got to tell you, man, you're drinking too much. You don't tell yourself that. Nor revilers. You can't revile yourself. You ain't going to revile yourself. Nor extortionists. Can you extort yourself? All of these things mentioned, you have to have another participating party there. You got to have somebody with you to be notified of these things. You can't do it by yourself. We've got this notion in Israel, well, I ain't got to have no friends. Come on, man. I don't know what book you're reading. It's all about having friends. It's all about having relationships with one another and building on those relationships. How else can you exercise long suffering by yourself? You can't exercise long suffering is putting up with somebody's mess for a long extended period of time until they decide to change. Cause they ain't gonna change on your dime, on your time. They gonna change when they ready to change. But you can't long suffer by yourself. So you ain't going to pick up the quality of patience by being alone. Hell, you can wait for you. Ain't no problem you waiting for you. Try waiting on somebody else. How are you going to develop forgiveness if you're not around people that offends you? You got to forgive them. And who's going to be the person that offends you the most? The person that's closest to you, your friend. This is why it's an offense. Because, man, I thought we was cool. Ain't that the first thing you say? When your friend offend you? Oh, I thought we was better than that, right? How are you going to learn these attributes by yourself without a friend? You ain't. What you going to be, a paranoid schizophrenic? You have imaginary friends? You going to be like Dexter? My dark passenger. Anyway, let's go to Psalms 82. Let me read this. It says, God standing in the congregation of the mighty, us. He judges among the gods. Still talking about us, and that's little g's. How long will ye judge unrighteously? You see what the Most High is saying? How long will you judge unrighteously and accept the person of the wicked? Salah. Listen to this. Defend the poor and fatherless. What did he say? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Man, so we're supposed to be what? Fathers to those who don't have fathers. Whether their father's passed away or whether the father just ain't in the picture or he's not capable of doing the work of a father. You know, and I was telling the brother too. The word for father in Hebrew is Abba, but that same word Abba is uncle in Hebrew also. So an uncle is a father and an uncle at the same time, man. They're interchangeable. This is why the Most High said, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So this this is what's going to be going on in the kingdom. We're going to be a father to the fatherless. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And a lot of us don't understand how we're intertwined. We're supposed to be. The Most High desired it to be that way. And remember, I keep talking about the kingdom. And remember, Christ said, the kingdom is within us. So while we're here in this jacked up kingdom, we're supposed to be developing a kingdom of our own within our own. Like the scripture says, rehearsing the righteous acts. What's the righteous acts? Looking out for one another. But remember, he says that we don't understand, man. We don't understand this. We don't get this concept. How is it we don't? Because we're still the old man. Smoke by myself, drink by myself. I don't need nobody. We got this damn Scarface mentality. Who put this together? Me. That's who. Who do I trust? Me. That's who. We got that damn mentality. But the Most High never designed it to be by ourselves. Hell, what you think all High Holy Days are about? What you think the Sabbath is about? Man, y'all ain't seen each other all week. Come together, see each other, see what's happening with each other. And these are commandments. They're called holy convocations, which means, convocation means gathering. He wants us to gather. What are we doing on all High Holy Days? Feasting. A feast is a party. He wants us to come together, have fun. Man, no different than before we got the knowledge of the truth dropped on us. He was in a Jake mindset. What do? Our families do. We have a barbecue. We have a get together. We having this party over here. We having this party over there. This is what we do. This has been in our nature. Even though we didn't know it, that it was a commandment for us to gather together, but it's been in our, always been in our nature to want to be together. Hell, when you look at the impurities that we would have, that you read about, the uncleanness you read about in Leviticus, 13, 14, and 15, if you had any uncleanness about you, you were quarantined. You were left to be by yourself. That wasn't a good thing. Hell, you remember when Miriam was speaking ill on Moses and the Most High plagued her with leprosy? And the Most High said to put her outside the camp for 7 days by herself when all her pigmentation had turned white. She walked running around like an Edomite, looking like an Edomite, by herself. Punishment. It was never a good thing to be all alone. Some of us got this mentality like we don't need nobody. Or if you ain't doing what I'm doing, then I'm going to separate myself from you. If I got to be alone, I'll be alone. There ain't no way to live, man. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs a friend. Some of us haven't learned how to be friends, how to extend the olive branch, so to speak, and become somebody's friend. Hell, I was working at the mall. That's what the part of EO training was, what? Win a friend. Win you a friend. Win 7 friends. Win 10 friends. That was the goal. I mean, of course, the goal was also to make money. But you couldn't make the money without making friends. So you wouldn't come off as just being a damn salesman. Salesmen come a dime a dozen. We would have people at the cart, man, even after they had bought something, they stay at the cart for like an hour just wanting to talk. Or they'll come back and just want to talk. Sometime, man, we have to tell them, hey, man, I got to go back to work. Because they just want to talk. Because we developed friendships with people. And how the hell is it we could do that with strangers, but now we're reluctant to do that with each other. I don't get that. Let me jump to James. So this is James chapter 1, verse 27. Listen to this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Listen to this once again, man. All throughout the Bible, you read about us taking care of us, us being there for us. But somewhere along the line, brothers got this twisted idea like we ain't supposed to look out for each other. Got this idea that it's about something else, that looking out for each other ain't part of the work. Man, matter of fact, let me jump up in this chapter. Let me show Israel. Let me show y'all what the work is. James 1 and 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, meaning you see your reflection. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forget what manner of man he is. So you see a reflection of you. You see you for who you really are. No distortment, no makeup, no persona. You really get to see you. And that mirror is, in fact, the Bible. It shows you you. This is why a lot of people don't want to pick the Bible up. A lot of people don't want to study because they see how off they are through the reflection of the scriptures. But listen to this, verse 25. I'm sorry, verse 24 says that this man, he sees a reflection of himself. He see him for him. Then he just walk away and forget that he ain't got to change. I don't want to change. I don't want to be reminded of how off I am or what I need to do to get myself together. Verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the scriptures, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. W-O-R-K. Work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, for years, man, thank all praise to the Most High, Yahushua, to Christ, for pulling the scales off my eyes, man, because for years I've read the scripture a ton of times. And I always thought that it says, but a doer of the word. That's what I thought it said. I had never seen this word work. I never saw that. But what work is it talking about? And we got to read it in context from verse 22 when it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. The work is you. Because then it goes on and talks about if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and going his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. So what is the scripture telling us in verse 25 when it talks about the work? It's talking about working on your imperfections, working on the things in you, the work of the Most High, y'all. That's the work. As well as what? Developing relationships with other Israelites that are working on themselves. This is how you form a friendship. This is why you call a brother or a sister to, hey, man, I'm going through this. I'm having this problem. Oh, man, I'm dealing with the same thing. Let me show you what I do. Let me show you the scriptures I apply. Let me show you how I handle that. Because to be honest about it, man, and I told the brother this, man, if it wasn't for the truth, man, if it wasn't for the Bible, I wouldn't be socializing with and have friends in Israel that I have. I honestly, half the people of Israel, I wouldn't even be dealing with. And I'm going to be real. Hell, my ribs, I wouldn't be really dealing with them if it wasn't for the scriptures. And why did I say, you might say, why do you say that, Pastor Park? Because we don't have nothing in common. Think about it, y'all. Think about the friendships and the relationships that you have in Israel and what brothers and sisters like doing that you don't like doing necessarily. Some brothers in Israel like listening to damn rock music. Particularly the brother Yasha Allah, man. He used to listen to, I call it murder, death, kill music. That damn, not hard rock. What's the next form of rock music? What do they call it, man? But it sound like heavy metal. That's what it is. Man, Yasha Allah used to love some heavy metal. And the brother Yawah, too. Heavy metal lovers. But they would listen to all types of music. They still do. But they really like that heavy metal. I can't stand it. It sounds like a bunch of damn noise to me. It's irritating to my ears. But I have friendships with both brothers. But if it wasn't for the truth, I wouldn't be hanging around them. I wouldn't have developed no friendships with them. They listen to no damn heavy metal. We all have friends in Israel that they just into different stuff that we ain't necessarily into. And if it wasn't for the truth, if it wasn't for this Bible, we wouldn't be friends with them, y'all. I don't think we really understand that. The Bible is the glue that holds us all together. The common theme of our friendships. Now let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 7. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. So this is Solomon speaking. And remember, he studied everything. He said he even studied folly. Verse 8, there is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he had neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. So he's saying, man, there's a man that's alone. He ain't got no family. It says, but he there's never an end to his work. He's always working, always working. It says, neither is his eye satisfied with his riches. So he's working. He got money, but he's never satisfied, man. Never satisfied. It says, neither said he, for whom do I labor? So you never ask yourself, man, who am I working for? And whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? Bereave means to deprive. So he like, man, he never asked himself, who am I working for? And I'm depriving myself of good. What's the good you depriving yourself of? Having a friend, having somebody with you, somebody to appreciate all your labor with. Somebody to spend some of those riches on, whether it be brother, a child, or a friend, whoever, man. Because remember, the very first part of this precept says there's one alone. Read the rest of it. It says, this is also vanity. Huh, yay, it is a source of it. So to be alone, to have no loved ones, no friends, he said, this is worthless, man. Yet is a sore travail. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ain't that something, man? If you're working alongside of somebody, the reward would be more beneficial. The reward. Hell, it's a reward within itself to work alongside somebody and get something accomplished, man. That's gratifying. You feel really accomplished when you do that. I know I've been there, done that. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. If you got somebody, man, that's got your back, and you maybe you ain't feeling the best, maybe you down on your luck, maybe you need your spirit uplifted, maybe you need to be inspired. If you got that friend, they'll lift you up. They will inspire you. That's what we supposed to be doing anyway. When a brother or sister gets weak, we're supposed to be inspiring them, grabbing their hand, picking them up when they feeling low, when they down. It says again, if two lie together. Oh, did I read the rest of that? Let me read verse 10 again. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Man, if you alone, like I said, and you just going through something, it says woe unto you, which means destruction. It's better to have to go through a difficult, rough situation with somebody, with your friend, than to go at it alone. What do people be saying when they go through stuff? Man, I have to go all do this by myself. I had to do it by myself. I had to do it all alone. Man, I felt like I was alone. People complain about this all the time. Right or wrong? You hear people say this all the time, being alone. Hell, that was one of the complaints my first son had because he was the only child. I'm the only child. I feel like I'm all alone. Nobody like being by themselves. The scriptures even tell you what? A child left to himself will become willful. Leave your damn kid at the house by themselves. You come back and check on their mentality and see where they at. How their mental's favored. It is not a good thing to be alone, to not have a friend. Man, especially hearing this truth, you know how valuable it is to have a friend. And I'm talking about a brother or sister that y'all both came in at the same time. Or maybe you came in first, they came in shortly after, or vice versa. But y'all just clicked, man. I had that, man. And I missed that. I miss my brother Ashar, man. That brother was my friend. Not just him, there's other brothers I miss. Ashar passed, rest his soul. I miss the brother Nadiab. He was my friend, man. Several other brothers. I mean, I can go on. It's really valuable, y'all, to have a friend in this truth, man, in your walk. Let me get back. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You see that? You can't be warm by yourself, brother. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Y'all hear that? Meaning we get set in our ways, man. We get caught up in this idea of we don't need no friends. Can't nobody correct us. This is also the benefit of having a friend. A friend tell you, man, you're tripping. Man, nope, that ain't the right move, Rock. Nope, you shouldn't do that, sister. It says, man, an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Why? Because I'm by myself. I don't have nobody to tell me that the way I'm dealing is off, the way I'm operating is foul. Or that I'm being unrighteous. You need people around you to tell you, man, you tripping. Man, you off. Don't get mad at them when they tell you that. You're supposed to be like, man, I appreciate you pulling my coat on that. I appreciate you telling me that. Well, scripture says the wounds of a friend are faithful. Why does it say that? You can always count on your friend to tell you the truth. Even if it hurts your feelings, even if you don't agree with it, That's what makes them a friend. Because I don't want people to get this twisted and think that, oh, your friend is just going to pat you on the ass and tell you it's going to be all right and just look over your shoulder. No, that's not a friend. A friend is going to tell you the truth, even if it has the potential to break your friendship up. But you should appreciate that coming from your friend. It shouldn't break our friendship up. See, Mark chapter 10, and let me see. Let's start at verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So here it is. And remember what we just read in Ecclesiastes. They talk about being a child. So they bringing these children to Yahushua. And it says that his disciples rebuked the children. Wouldn't let them come to Yahushua. Verse 14. But when Yahushua saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Y'all hear that? What did Christ mean by this? Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And remember, he said previously that the kingdom was in us. So we make up the kingdom. So he's saying, if you won't receive each other, he says, whoso shall not receive the kingdom or us of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Meaning what? The mentality of a child, like I brought out earlier, you ain't holding no grudge. I'm not holding a grudge. Kids get mad at each other, be hitting each other, fighting each other. 5-6 minutes later, they playing like nothing ever happened. This is what Christ is saying. We have to have mentality of a child. Just because we have a fight don't mean we can't be friends. Just because we have a knockdown, drag-out argument doesn't mean we can't still be friends. We just can't get along. No, we can deal. We can find some type of common ground, man. Let's get St. John chapter 14, verse 6. St. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See that? Christ said, nobody's getting to him except through him. And through him means what? You got to do things the way he did it. Christ had friends. He had friendships. He had relationships that he had developed. So if we're following Christ, we got to do it the same way. For us brothers, how many times you heard your ribs say, well, I ain't doing this for you. I'm doing it for the Most High. And I'm laughing because I had my ribs tell me that before. They don't get it. This, when you do it for me, you are doing it for the Most High. You are doing it for the Most High. Why? Because the Most High gave me you. So you're supposed to please me, because that's what he said to do. So in doing so, you are doing it for the Most High. But you know, the reason they make that statement is because they got it in their mind that they can go around me to get to the Most High. No, that ain't the case. But brothers have the same misconception that we can go around each other and get straight to the Most High. No, that ain't the case. And then think that we can go around each other and get straight to Christ when Christ said that we have to be each other's friends, that we have to have a relationship with each other. This is why he said no man get to the Father but by him. How? You got to befriend people, have relationships with people just like he did. Just like he did. You have to extend yourself, put yourself out there, and not be holding back, not be fearful of the consequence. Are they going to leave? Are they going to hurt my feelings? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? It's the same thing Christ went through. How many relationships and friends did he have to turn their back on him? That betrayed him. He wants us to feel the same thing that he went through. He wants us to have compassion the way he had compassion. He wants to have mercy the way he had mercy. How can we experience that by ourselves? We can. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. And I'm starting verse 14. I was talking with Mashaba because Mashaba read in this chapter 2. I was telling him he stole my scriptures I was going to use. That's in the chapter. Now watch this. Verse 14. We're in Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So Christ is giving out talent to everybody. And I love this chapter, y'all, because we got this thing in Israel where we think that everybody has the exact same gifts, or they should be able to do the exact same thing that I'm doing. And if they're doing something I ain't doing, then they ain't in Israel. But we read here that Christ gave different talents out. Everybody didn't get the same thing. And then we even have a lot of hate going on because this brother or this camp do this, or and they got these members or whatever, I don't like them. Well, that ain't your lane. They got their lane. Where your lane at? Whatever your lane is, do good in that. Do the best you can do with the lane that was given to you, the talents that was given to you. Everybody can't do everything. And we shouldn't be hating on each other because of that. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Who is he trading with? Himself? No. With other Israelites. So he had to form friendships in order to gain a talent. 17. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. This is the loner guy. I don't want to be nobody's friend. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoning with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and bought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. So what was he doing? He was winning men. He was winning friendships. He had relationships that he had established in order to get these talents. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. So there thou hast not, I'm sorry, lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he went and hid his tie all by where? Himself. I ain't want to be nobody's friend. I ain't want to make no relationships. I got what I'm doing over here, and this is the way I do things. If they don't want to do it, then they ain't in the truth. They ain't got the truth. They ain't following Yahweh Shai. They don't want to do it the exact same way that I'm doing it. This is the mentality we be having. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So take away whatever talent I blessed with. Give them to somebody that's going to actually use the talent that I gave them and go out and establish relationships, friendships with other Israelites and add another talent to themselves. I remember I came in, man, and I seen Meshaba teaching. I'm like, man, I want to do that. I want to teach. And I wore Meshaba's footsteps out, like the scriptures say. I started teaching. I even had people come, man, you sound just like Meshaba. Man, little Meshaba. I get this all the time. And I wasn't like, you know, saying, telling people not to say that or nothing like that. I was like, man, wow, I appreciate that. Because to me, it was an honor to even be compared to Meshaba. Then I started hanging around other brothers and picking up other talents. Hung around a war, great counselor. Father Bod, great counselor. So I went through them brothers. I learned how to what? I learned how to counsel. Was at the mall with Shamshawan. Saw this brother. He could talk to anybody. And I mean anybody about anything. He was like a chameleon. He would adapt to whoever was in front of him. Pick that talent up. And there's other talents I picked up from other brothers. But I had to build those relationships and be around those brothers in order to get those talents. And I am not saying that I'm perfect in all of them, but I picked up some from each and every last brother. This is what Christ is talking about here in the parable of the talents. But in order to do this, y'all, we have to make friendships and relationships with one another. You can't be that wicked servant think you just gonna, I'm going to stay over here in my lane, and this is what I'm good at, and this is what I'm going to stay good at. And because you ain't good at it like me, then you ain't in the truth. No, man. That's nonsense. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Start at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's different gifts, y'all, but it says all the same Spirit. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 12. I don't read this whole chapter, but it goes into the body. And Meshaba was bringing it out, too, y'all. And I don't think y'all noticed, but there are 208 bones in your body. 208. And all those bones are essential. You don't believe me, man, break your damn pinky toe. Or stuck for us, that's just stubbed our toe, man, because everybody done it on the bed frame or a couch or something. Man, it hurt like hell. But try running on that damn same toe and see what happens. You ain't going to be able to run effectively. Not at all, because of your pinky toe. That little bitty toe you think that's insignificant is very important. And that's what the scriptures was trying to show us in this chapter. But I'm going to jump down to verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Meaning what, man? All these different camps are what? Or all the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Y'all see that? There are many members, many different camps, but still all represent who? Yahweh Shai. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not, wait a minute. No, let me jump down. Verse 28, what I want to get to. Let me go to 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You see this, man? There are many different talents that the Most High has blessed Israel with, and all brothers don't have them all. And because you don't have all the talents that another brother has, don't be hating on him. Because he can do X, Y, Z. Hell, I admire the fact that the brother Kyle Cobb could speak so many different languages. I admire that. I can't do it. You can tell me several words in Spanish, and I'll be the Vigalum in 5 minutes. That ain't my talent. But some brothers, man, they just pick up stuff. What's the brother Parazai? He picks up languages like that. He speaks several different languages. That's his gift. That's his talent. Can all Israelite brothers do that? No, we can't. We weren't blessed with that talent. He even talks about then gifts of healing. You got some brothers in Israel that they study herbs. They know medicine. Some brothers have been blessed with that. Some ain't. We shouldn't be hating on them because they weren't blessed with it. Verse 29, for all apostles or all prophets or all teachers. Or all workers of miracles. Every brother in Israel is not going to be a teacher, y'all. I know the scriptures talk about raising up prophets, raising up teachers. And prophets, teachers are going to be raised up. But every brother ain't going to be a teacher. Every brother ain't going to be teaching. Every brother ain't going to be able to work miracles. Verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, all don't. This is what's so beautiful about Israel, and I hate when brothers try to put Israel in a box. Christ said that we are the salt of the earth. We're everywhere around the globe. So you mean to tell me that everywhere around the globe, we're only doing one specific thing? We're not doing a multiple of things? You look at us as a people, man, we come in all varieties, shapes, colors, what have you. This is what's so beautiful about us. This is why the Most High calls us a peculiar people. We are very unique in what we do because we can do so much. We don't just fit in one box. We gotta stop this, Israel, with this damn closed mindset that we can only do one thing, or because we're doing this specific thing and no other camp is doing it, we the only ones that got the truth. That is idiotic, man. Us is 12 tribes, right? Does any of the 12 tribes do anything the same? No. And I went over this in my class, man. We call it bopping. Chicago, they call it stepping. The 9.5 call it damn salsa. And then even within the salsa, no two tribes does it the same. All of the 9.5 that do the salsa, they do it different. The Spanish-speaking tribes, all of them do it different. We don't all talk the same. We don't all have the same slang. Verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. This is what Christ talked about in the parable of the talents. Covet earnestly, meaning sincerely. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. What's the more excellent way, man? I'm going to take a little bit from this camp. I'm going to take a little bit from that camp. Or I'm going to take a little bit from this brother. Take a little bit from that brother. That's the more excellent way. It's not this isolated, secluded Israelite mentality. I'm going to take these talents that are good, that are working, from each and every last one of us, because all of us have something to contribute. But I want to get this one. This is my last scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 22. This one hit me, man. 22. Check this out, y'all. If thou hast opened thy mouth against thy friend, fear not, for there may be. Let me read it again. Hold on. For if thou hast opened thy mouth against thy friend, fear not. Meaning, man, maybe you had some words with your friend that he ain't like. You know, y'all got beef over it. It says, fear not, for there may be a reconciliation. Meaning what? Y'all can still be friends. Y'all can put that stuff in the past and come to a common ground, man, to where y'all can still operate as friends. Listen to this. Except for upbraiding or pride or disclosing secrets. So these are the reasons. Upbraiding, your friend just won't hold his tongue. He just keep talking the stuff that offend you. It says, or pride. You can't tell him nothing. There's no compromising. There's no reasoning. It says, or disclosure. Or disclosure of secrets. So this is how a friend becomes a frenemy. Disclosing. I didn't tell somebody your business. It says, or treachery. I'm sorry, or treacherous wounds. For these things, every friend will depart. So how do you become a frenemy? How do you lose a friend? It says, except for upbraiding, meaning I'm still just talking. I can't be reasoned with, or my pride, or I'm telling your business, or treacherous wounds. For these things, every friend going to depart, y'all. So what is that telling us? We need to have respect and consideration for the friendships and relationships that we do have, y'all, because they are very valuable, and we want to hold on to them. So I hope everybody got something from the class. I heard the 90-second mark from the lady. I want to thank Mashaba once again for hooking the broadcast up for me. And y'all go back, man, and check Mashaba's class out that he did. I forgot the title of it, man, but it was a good class. I got to listen to part two of it. And keep supporting Blog Talk, y'all. Keep listening in. We thank you for your support. And this is your brother, Tazapa, signing off, y'all. I want to say shalom.